thank you. Just in case you're wondering why I am walking so slowly, I thought I'd better explain. I wanted to explain to 50 people, explain it just once. Every year, I usually have two injections for the synovial fluid thing. As you grow a little older, the synovial fluid may not always be there, so sometimes it leaks out. And when it becomes, it just has to be replaced somewhere along the line. So I had an injection, one on each leg, or knee. And then, don't know what happened, my good orthopedic surgeon tells me, he said, you know, your right knee is actually worse than your left. So I asked him, how come my pain is on my left and not on my right? One of those mysteries that cannot be solved. I must tell you, he's a wonderful, wonderful doctor, and I was just deeply, deeply touched by the care and concern shown. And on Friday, I was speaking at the retreat. And then, maybe because of the extended long hours of just standing around, it became quite swollen. So on the whole of Saturday, I had to stand up to speak from morning till evening. And that didn't help the swelling any. I'm just very thankful that though the left knee is a little bit more painful than the right, the right is at least functional, even though it's supposed to be worse. So I stood on my right quite a bit and then rested whatever I could on the left. But really, really thank God for His grace to me. That is most important. And I will be recovering shortly, hopefully. And it has just been wonderful to know that there is such thing as things like that you can inject in and you can feel a little bit better. And this has been wonderful. This morning I would like very much to ask you to pray together with me. Yong Hong wrote to me and asked for prayer support. He is going in for surgery tomorrow morning. This is the umpteenth time now for going for surgery. He had cancer, the legs, and his doctor has been trying to save his leg for this time. So he's going to try, the doctor is going to take out whatever metal parts they are inside, put him on a cast, hopefully he will heal. If he tells me, if he doesn't work this time around, it would be amputation. So it's, of course, a very serious step to take, one way or the other. So I thought this morning we will spend a bit of time in prayer for him and then remember him in his hour of need. Let's pray together. Our Father, this morning we bring before you Yong Hong as he prepares for surgery early tomorrow morning. We pray that you will give to the surgeon all the skills that he would need to know how to address this problem. We pray that you would comfort Julian and the children as they wait out this difficult time. We pray that even as we hear of Qingming speaking of you, your grace, and your love for us, we pray that your greatness would be something that we will see once again. And we pray that you would be very real and wonderful for Yong Hong, Julian, and family during this difficult time. We pray for your grace to be given. In Jesus' name, amen. We come across a familiar text in Ephesians 4 this morning, and I thought it would be good if I were to try and explain how we can take this text and make it applicable to us in the series of walking in Him. Okay. Well, let's talk about how it. And Paul writes these words: "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called." What is this calling generally? So I want to speak of three different aspects of a calling. What are these three aspects that are always there, actually? Okay. First, there is what we call a general calling. And God does call people. He calls people to salvation. That's a general calling. He calls people to walk with Him, to walk in Christ, to walk in love, to walk in the light. We call this a general calling. And it applies literally what it means, that it applies to everybody. Okay, so there's a general calling. And everyone is the same, whether you are older or younger. We have the same calling to salvation. We have the same calling to live a life that is sanctified. We have a general calling, you know. That's the usual understanding. But then we have another aspect. We call this a very special, a very specific calling. Now, this special and specific calling is not for everybody. Right? This is important. It's not for everybody. And this one is special. So, for example, in chapter 3, Paul spoke about the dispensation of God given to him. And he said, "I became a minister," verse 7, "according to the gift of grace given to me by the effective working of His power. To me, who am less than the least of all the saints, His grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ." We call this a very specific calling. A calling of a person to be a preacher, a speaker, a pastor, a servant of the Lord. It is a very special calling. It's not for everybody. The general calling is for everybody. This one isn't. And it is important that we don't mistake this. Because if we have a calling, an understanding of a calling, we would understand it. First and foremost, it is all by the grace of God. Not because you are somebody special. It is out of God's grace someone is called. But beyond that grace, there is also a thing we call the power of God. How do you know that the person is called? And there is the power of God at work. You know, it's been fascinating to watch how my Sunday school class members would be asked to lead in worship. And I always enjoy, and I literally sense the entire congregation and see how they will listen to them. And for everyone, my prayer would always be that they would literally speak and command the respect and hold the whole congregation literally spellbound by what they're going to say. This is exactly what we saw this morning too. And it's wonderful to see this. It's really, really wonderful to this. We begin to see that God's power can be at work in the life of a person. And this is exactly what Paul was speaking about. And we see he says this is God's grace given to him. Indeed, because he was once a persecutor, now he becomes a preacher. That's grace. Now, that's grace also when Paul was a Pharisee and he is a preacher to the Gentiles. You have no idea how hard that is. The Gentiles were people Pharisees like Paul would avoid like the plague. But now he is ministering to them, speaking to them, explaining to them things which he otherwise could not have done. The power of Christ is at work also because you see him becoming very, very effective preaching the unsearchable riches of Christ. And I'm always amazed, I really am, always amazed that after 40 over years of speaking for the Lord, there are still things for us to study and to discover. The unsearchable riches of Christ indeed. But don't take this step easily. It's not everybody who is called. Okay? And this is important. I think that we want to look at it very carefully. So, when people have a special calling from the Lord, there will be effective power at work. And you can see this. So, this is how it works in the life of the person. And the Lord would be there and He would bless it. And it is a wonderful thing to take note of. Now, here is a third aspect, which is for all of us again. Okay? Now, I call this a corporate calling. Now, this might be new to us all, but here is a calling that is called corporate because it is going to involve all of us as a church to have that corporate witness. Consider again, chapter 4, where Paul says, "Walk worthy of the calling with which you were called." Right? So we have an obvious reference, and the general idea of calling is there. But there is something else, where because he calls them to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, and I put this down as a corporate calling, something that all of us ought to be involved with collectively. It cannot be done individually alone. It cannot be done singly. It must be done corporately. And I think this is something that we need to bear in mind. What is this thing that we are called to do? Okay? Now that it's clear what we ought to do. Verse 4, "There is one body, one spirit, called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, Father of all, above all, through all, in you all." And this is something that we want to look at very, very carefully. What is this corporate calling to us? Verse 2, "With all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." Now there is your corporate calling. And this is important for us. You see, the greater the group, the greater the danger of diversity. And the danger of diversity can lead to divisiveness. It can lead to division. It can lead to a splintering, as it were, of the church. This was what God called upon people like the Apostle Paul with a very specific calling to teach things like that. To teach that we should really, really work towards the sense of a unity in the Spirit at all times. Let's not talk about unity in the church. Let's talk about unity in the family. And we all know this difficulty in the family. Nobody is really united in opinions about a lot of things. Right? We want to go. Want to go here. We want to go there. When you have children very young, let's go out. The only thing they would say is, "Are we there yet?" That's not a problem. With every passing year, they grow older, and you know what? Do we have to go? No, no, do we have to go there yet? Do we have to go? Do we have to go with you? For some reason, parents are almost now an embarrassment. You still go around with your parents? Eyes are raised, rolled, young people. You're right. Nobody's normal about their age. And you really wonder why. Parents have the best of intentions. Let's go here. Let's do that. Let's do the other thing. And they really... What do they like to eat? Some people, when Christopher was very young, it was McNuggets. I couldn't stand it. But it was McNuggets. She can make McNuggets every day, every meal if you wish. Now we have a little daughter out here, and she is Subway. Every day is Subway. Teriyaki Subway. Would you like to try it too? Well, once in a while, every day, oh please. If we see this unity already coming. Now imagine the church. And everybody is pulled in every way. How do we keep this? And this is a challenge to consider a corporate calling. We are one church. We are one. And the focus of that oneness is so vital. And this is how we do it. We are to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So what does it really, really mean? Take a look at this text. In chapter 2, for example, Ephesians verse 22, the work of the Spirit of God is to build together a dwelling place for God. That is His work. Right? It's a wonderful piece of work that the Spirit of God is doing. He's pulling together a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. And as Peter Ed said, we are all stones, living stones, put together. The Spirit of God, now put it here, to build this building for God to dwell in. Right? But you see, because if we are not led by the Spirit, we would never do that. So the Spirit of God has to be borne in mind when we talk about being in a church. And there is a corporate calling for us to consider keeping the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. You see, that's the challenge. So it's not a general calling to be saved. Nor is it a specific calling to serve God somewhere special. But a corporate calling for all of us to understand that God's calling is for us to be one. There is a sense of unity. There is a sense of understanding that God wants to build this even more. All the time. And our part is to understand that this is our corporate calling and this is what we ought to do. And Paul's word is walk worthy. I appreciate what Chi Ming says that we are a church that we want to treasure. And it's something that we don't take for granted. We often do though. But we shouldn't. And if we can understand what it really means for us to be given a church, then we must all the more think about it and say, you know what, I would like very, very, very much to work towards endeavoring to keep the unity of the church. And we've got to try. Because this is our calling. God has given us a church which the Holy Spirit is building. His work is to build a sense of oneness, to build unity within the church. And He calls upon all of us with different gifts, with different challenges, with different everything else. And He says, walk worthy of this calling. Is it possible that we can walk worthy of this calling? And if so, how? And I think this is something that we need to look at very carefully. Is it possible? The answer is yes. How? Well, let's take a look at verse 2 and we'll see how. With all lowliness. The word lowliness here is hardly understood today. But the word here simply means with all humility. And I think this is important. With all humility. Can we keep this unity in the church? Yes, if we have the necessary humility. I think this is something that we really, really want to thank God for. We are very thankful that each chairman here displays appropriate humility. I think this is something that we appreciate very much. We talked to Chi Ming, and I was asking him today about national service for women. And, well, we just didn't have very much time to discuss this further. But that would be an interesting concept. Okay? So there is a volunteer force. I think this is a wonderful thing to consider. I mean, this is something that we want to explore. The whole idea is see anybody and everybody being just committed to the sense of looking, caring for our country, loving our country, and so on and so forth. It's a sense of oneness that we ought to have, no matter how much difficulties there may be. Oneness, unity. That's the work of the Spirit of God. Rather than the stress diversity, there is a sense of oneness that is being focused on. Can we do this? Yes, if we are humble. If we have necessary humility to recognize that the musicians, well, we just thank God for them. Right? We really thank God, but this is one group, and the AVA group is another group. Very difficult sometimes to blend the two groups, but we'll try. And then downstairs, after that, there's the kitchen staff there. That's the third group. And then there's the carpet group. And there's a fourth group. And then they're all over the place scattered. That's 5, 6 different groups. How are we going to keep them together? We can if we have the necessary lowliness of heart and mind, meaning simply humility. Is it possible? The answer is yes. Okay? And then the word, next word is the word gentleness. I had to write to my good doctor surgeon here. I just couldn't on Friday, even despite the fact it was swollen, despite the fact that, but it was not his fault, it was mine. I stood the whole day. I just had to write to him to say thank you for. What really stood out to me was his gentleness. I mean, I'm surprised that, maybe I shouldn't say he was surprised, but I'm just pleasantly delighted that he would so graciously and so gently attend to me. First, I didn't have an appointment. I just had to make a quick appointment, and he says, yeah, sure, come. And then he would wait, and then he would attend to me. Gentleness was really what stood out to me. And I honor him for that. But gentleness is something that we can have too. It's possible to be gentle. In fact, it is necessary to be gentle. And if we can do this, I think this is something that I really appreciate. Years and years ago, I read a testimony of a senior person, and they were in a monastery, and they were as monks do in the early days. They spent a lot of time praying. So one of the monks there kept on consistently falling asleep. So finally, they couldn't stand it anymore. They complained to the abbot, and they said, you know, brother so-and-so is always sleeping. What would you do? And they hoped that he would, maybe the abbot will discipline him. So the abbot went there and was praying. True enough, he was sleeping. So they watched him and see how he would respond. And he surprised everybody. He went out of the room, came back with a small, gentle pillow and let him rest. I thought it was really outstanding. You see, in the early days, when the monks did their work, there was a lot of physical labor. They went out into the fields to work. They talked to the people, and they really worked hard physically. And by the end of the evening, the last prayer meeting is called Vespers. last day of prayer time is called Vespers. And he was just so worn out. And that really spoke to my heart. You know, that really, really spoke to mine. That helped me to look at the congregation and, well, to be gentle in every sense of the word. Instead of being upset. Am I upset with you? Not really. I try to be gentle. Why? To keep the oneness. No point glaring at you. It's because you are asleep anyway. You so don't know I glare at you. Gentleness is so important. Gentleness in a person, with a person in front of you. Gentleness with a person who cuts queue, even in church. Gentleness with a person who parks poorly. Oh, I was sharing with the vision with the people who came for the retreat that maybe in a new building we would have car park large enough so that if you need to park long beach, it's alright. That would be a dream. But there's so many things we can think about. Gentleness is one key word to help us to keep this corporate calling there clear. And then, of course, the word is long-suffering. Long-suffering is simply patience. I think this is important. Patience is so critical. And we have, many of us are just so impatient with anything and everything. And then finally, the whole idea of being able to bear one another, with one another, in love. If ever we were to spell Bethany differently, it would be here. Bethany. So it would be literally bearing with one another. And how we at Bethany, we bear with one another. Of course, so I have to, I mean, we all have to do this. I had to write to Evangeline and said, when's the wedding program coming up? I need to see bearing with one another. And so on and so forth. And it's what I'm trying to say. We all need to learn how to do this. And if we can do this, then it is very possible, indeed possible for us to have a corporate calling witness. And I want to say thank you to all who come for all the funerals. You have no idea what an impact you make on people in a family bereaved when you turn up. And you're there, young people to clean up, older people just to stand by, just to share with the family a bit of the sorrow. See, this is corporate witness. And when we have a corporate witness that is so strong, it makes an impact. And we live out what Paul says, walk worthy. We should walk worthy of our calling, generally. We should walk worthy specifically of our calling, absolutely. We have a specific calling to serve the Lord, then we want to walk worthy of that special, specific calling. But then we have now a corporate call to walk worthy. And it's good to bear in mind there is a such thing as a corporate calling. And if we can together do this, it will go a long, long way to bear witness for the Lord. And we will truly be able to aid the work of the Spirit of God because He brings us all together in oneness. Right? And how does He do it? He creates the humility within us, the gentleness within us, that patience within us, that long-suffering with love within us, that we can do this. And let's try and do this with all our heart. Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank You that we can be challenged to take on this endeavor to be the church that we can be. We ask You to speak to our hearts deeply. Help us to understand what it means for us to be called in this special way, to keep the unity of the Spirit. We pray that we will understand this idea of a corporate calling We will do our part in making sure that we remain one in Christ Jesus. We ask you now to bless this offering that we give. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's ask the Lord to bless us before we go from here. And now may this great and wonderful God lead us and enable us to always live in consciousness of this calling with which we have been called. May the Lord Jesus Christ and His example of one who understood and fulfilled His calling be foremost in our mind, and this teach us the desire to walk in His footsteps. May the Spirit of God enable us to fulfill our corporate calling so that we can truly, as a church together, be that church where you are touching lives, hearts, and then seeing your children learning how to care for each other to the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, now and forever. Amen.